welcome once again to another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. So let's get things started. Let's bring in our host, the executive director and founder of the SLMA, Jim Obermeyer.
Thank you, Paul. Our producer today is Paul Roberts, and he's our occasional co-host. He has a deep background in marketing, has a deep background in radio, and has also owned an Irish bar in Newport Beach, California. But that's another story. Our subject today is, will AI replace marketing jobs? And we have tapped a very well-known guy who was with Eloqua years ago, a company that seeded so many companies in the industry. And Paul Tashima is the CEO of Nudge, and he has come on today to talk about the subject, will AI replace marketing jobs? Now, we're doing a series of programs. We've had about five different interviews with agencies and CEOs, et cetera, to talk about this program. We have Michelle Huffons, who is a CMO over at Acton, Dan McDade over at Point Clear. And it's interesting how everybody has a somewhat different take on this. Now, Paul, he's a co-founder of Nudge AI, .ai, a modern sales platform that uses artificial intelligence to provide sales teams with actionable insights on their target customers. I love it. Oh, I wish I would have had this years ago. He's a successful technology executive who has run services, customer service, account management, support, and product teams. As part of Eloqua's executive team, he helped lead the program from zero to $100 million in revenue, and then through an IPO and a successful acquisition for $957 million by Oracle. That was must have been a fun day at your company. He's a firm believer that company culture trumps strategy every time. Paul, welcome.
Thanks, James, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, let's see. Tell us about Nudge. You've got 22 employees. You're in Toronto, Canada, our sister to the north there, and you're leading a really exciting company. Tell us about Nudge.
So Nudge is really formed on the idea that your network is your net worth. And as a sales professional, you really need to focus on maintaining and building your network as you build relationships at potential customers, at existing customers, and as you move from job to job. And actually, in our experience from working with Eloqua and over 1,500 companies and some of the best sales professionals in the world, and marketers, of course, we saw that the best salespeople had this incredible ability to nurture and manage this network of important people in their lives. And so we wanted to build a product that helped other sales professionals do the same.
Well, right up front, let's talk about this very briefly. I usually do this at the end of the program. How long does it take to get Nudge up and running?
So it's a five-step process. You can sign on. There's a free product, by the way. There's 12,000 users on our free product, and you can just go and sign up, and it's a five-step process online.
Five-step process, free process. And then eventually you charge something for this program, don't you?
Well, we have a free product that's really kind of like a personal CRM to manage that network for you as a salesperson. We do have a team product, and that is separate, although they work together, and that is sold to customers. So that is a separate, and that one is not free.
And how much does that cost?
That one starts at $29.95 per user for our self-service edition. And then for 25 users, you can get our CSM team to sort of work with you on best practices and run the program with you.
Pocket change. Pocket change doesn't make any sense to – it sounds like I've looked at the program extensively, and it looks like something that every company can use, and I mean that seriously. So let's get into the subject. You're really into artificial intelligence. You've got a strong background in it. Tell us, will AI replace marketing jobs? Are marketing departments going to get more money and become smaller with more experienced people, but much smaller departments? What's your opinion?
You know, I would have to say, if I give you the straight answer, I think the answer is no. But I'm going to caveat that and give you some interesting elements under that no. I mean, if you look at what happened with marketing tech with MA systems, a lot of people were saying that then will automation replace marketers? Will you all of a sudden have less marketers? In fact, in many cases, we've seen an increase in number of headcount, more a different skill set potentially for some of those. But as those marketing teams have had more responsibility, they've had to add on different roles. And so if I go on to the AI side, I think there is an opportunity to take care of some of the, what I call more, what do you call it, more grunt work, the types of jobs that maybe marketers hate doing behind the scenes. Certainly there's some predictive, as the data gets better, some predictive elements. But at the core, some of the key important skills of a marketer, focusing on understanding messaging, their customer, the go-to-market opportunities, the creative side, I don't think it can ever be replaced by AI in the short term.
Well, don't you think some of the machines, if the machine learning is, comes through to all of the promises, the machine will learn many responses. Will it replace people in telemarketing? Will it replace people in fulfillment? These things?
I can tell you, certainly, as you get more to transactional type interactions, so maybe on a billing channel, on a support scenario, you're right, on the telemarketing scenario where you're asking some very basic questions, you could potentially have an AI bot doing that work. But let me give you an example, and this is probably a classic example of why AI is still not quite there yet. I'll give you two sentences. The trophy did not fit in the suitcase because it was too large. The second sentence, the trophy did not fit in the suitcase because it was too small. As a human, you quickly understand the first case we're talking about the trophy, the second case we're talking about the suitcase. But that would throw an AI algorithm into a nightmare spin of not knowing what is going on. Because in both cases, they would assume they're referring to the suitcase. So that's an example of just a simple nuance of how people interact where we get it, but an AI bot won't.
Okay, very, very interesting. But don't you think some of, so we're implying some of the rote jobs, some of the grunt jobs in marketing that are sitting there being handled by marketers today will be replaced by more advanced, more deep thinking, more decision-making jobs by marketers?
Yeah, I think that what happens is that if you replace some of the grunt work and some of the behind-the-scenes work that maybe you had a marketing operations person or a marketing specialist doing, and that AI continues to get better and takes more of those responsibilities on, I believe that marketers will advance into other areas and other tactics, other strategies to continue to stay competitive on top of that AI platform. Will you have some slight job contraction? Potentially. But I think the leading companies will find ways to use those human resources to take advantage of some of the new playing fields, some of the new mediums that are out there, some of the different types of techniques that are going to give them competitive advantage and not get rid of those resources. That is absolutely what I believe. And I think what we've seen time and time again with technology, and it's the same thing on the sales side. AI is not going to replace salespeople. It's going to allow salespeople more time to sell and build relationships versus data entry, versus pipeline updates, versus all the stuff they don't love, you know, research on companies, all the stuff that they don't love doing as much.
Well, for instance, I'm thinking about what occurred to me when you were saying that was the marketing operations departments, which have become, in the last 2 or 3 years, gone from just an interesting title to a force within the bigger companies, and probably a major stepping stone from that marketing operations manager to the CMO position. It's something you've got to go through in order to control the budgets that are moving towards the marketing operations, which are said to sometimes exceed the IT budget of the rest of the company. The fact that they're controlling their own servers and becoming almost a rival department within the company, those jobs are expanding. If I were coming into marketing today, I would be going after the marketing operations job because I want to control everything. I want to know what's going on, and I want to show the results, and I want to dig into the data, and I want to know the reports. Well, it isn't just that person. It's all the other people that are going to be employed in that department, more people with IT marketing titles than ever before. So am I on the right track?
I think you are. I mean, and you know what's really interesting to me, and I'll say two stories. One, back in the Eloqua days, I would always come into a sales call and see, you know, a director of marketing operations, but an SVP of sales operations. And that was, you know, the sales side that it elevated to that level and that title and sometimes reported directly to the CEO, where you'd only ever have maybe a director level at most on the marketing ops side. Well, to your point, that's changed tremendously today. And some of these worldwide marketing operations are extremely led by senior leaders. And I think you could get into a scenario where you may even have a data scientist within the marketing organization if they're large enough and have enough data that they want to analyze, put through machine learning type algorithms, and do some predictive analysis to drive their next set of marketing go-to-market opportunities. That could definitely be something that happens. So again, an expansion of potentially some roles, not necessarily a contraction.
Well, the number of people that I'm interviewing, some of the CEOs I'm interviewing on this subject, of newer software companies, and I look into their background like yours and others, and they have deep learning at major universities on computer science.
Yeah.
And not just software, but computer science, machine learning, artificial intelligence. The number of companies running, the CEOs running these service companies, and the service companies and the software companies, I look at their titles and it's amazing, their backgrounds, and you know where they're going to take it. Like you guys, you're going to take it into the science, which is the artificial intelligence, machine learning, which is now elevating marketing to the position it should be, which is driving revenue and being measured on the revenue. We're going to take a quick break here. We've been speaking with Paul Tashima, CEO of Nudge, co-founder of Nudge, a 22-person company. We've got how many thousands of people using your program now?
12,000 users today.
Great. Both the free version and a paid version for the program. And he's been tackling the subject, will AI replace marketing jobs? And so far, he's convinced me that it probably isn't. It's going to change the types of jobs, which also means those marketers are going to get paid more money. Paul, over to you.
Whether you're producing a seminar series, users conference, lunch and learn, or exhibiting at a trade show, Validar has a solution. From capturing leads at trade shows to managing on-site registration, tracking session attendance, gathering information, and providing sponsors lead retrieval, we have a full suite of solutions for you. Since 2005, Validar has been turning corporate events and trade shows into better business. Call 888-784-2929 or visit us at Validar.com.
And we want to remind you as well that the best sales professionals understand that people buy from people, and people they know, like, and trust. We all know that. But in a world overloaded with information, it's harder to build that trusted, authentic relationship with your buyer, isn't it? So meet Nudge.ai. Nudge.ai uses artificial intelligence to provide new social and relationship insights on buyers, so you're always armed with insights to drive real, authentic conversation. Isn't that what we're really looking for? Download nudge.ai for Chrome free at their website, just like it sounds, www.nudge.ai, and see what the power of AI can do for you. And one last thought before we return to the show. The book that we're always plugging has certainly caught a lot of people's attention, and I know a lot of people are talking about it. It's a book called Predictable Prospecting. Two words that sometimes don't seem like they go well together. But if your organization's success is driven by B2B sales, like most of us, then this book, Predictable Prospecting, by best-selling author Mary Lou Tyler, is something you should check out. It shows you how to rapidly add qualified opportunities to your sales pipeline, ensuring consistent and, there's that word again, predictable revenue growth. You can get started right away turning your business into a sales machine. Really, just download a free sample chapter and see what's in there. MaryLouTyler.com. That's the website. MaryLouTyler.com and then / predictable prospecting. See if you can't turn your business into a predictable sales machine. All right, I predict we have even more from Jim Obermeyer, so let's head back.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to hear from our sponsors today. We've been speaking with Paul Tashima. He's been tackling the subject, will AI replace marketing tools? Paul is the CEO and co-founder of Nudge up in Toronto, Canada. Paul, now that you've established that marketing will probably grow and the sophistication of the jobs will be greater And the rote jobs will probably go away and be taken over by some marketing AI software functions. But what should a marketing person do to make sure that they're part of this new wave of jobs coming in? What should the marketer themselves do? What kind of education? Where should they go? How should they prepare themselves?
You know, this is such a good question, because, and I know that there have been some scenarios where some colleges and some universities have brought in adjunct professionals to train some modern marketing techniques at schools. But I often find that still some of the best experiences is hands-on at small, growing small companies, mid-market companies, and moving up. So I think my answer would be go get an education, but go find a job at a company that's growing fast and being aggressive in terms of their marketing techniques, whether it's B2C, B2B, or a division of a larger company that's doing something innovative, and learn as much as you can through one of those jobs. That is where I think, because things are moving so quickly, I don't know if you're going to find some of these new techniques and things in a classroom today. And certainly on the data science side, to become a real data scientist is an 8 to 10 year process. And so you're never going to be a data scientist as a marketer, but certainly understanding those, working with someone with our data science team would be extremely interesting, and you would learn a lot.
Shouldn't you seek out courses in machine learning and artificial intelligence and computer science on your own to get a background?
I mean, I think you want to understand some of the basics, but even here at Nudge, we have a culture where our data scientists will sit down and go through a topic for the entire organization, whatever role you are, so we have a better understanding it as an AI company. But I think you can only go so far without actually having some of the teachings and some of the real education that a data scientist goes through. And so I think at a surface level, yes, do some reading, take some courses, get some understanding, see where it's applied in industry. But I wouldn't actually try and get your data science degree at a university if you're planning to be a marketer.
You, by the time you got out, it would pass you by. But I've read that some of our interviews found that many of the medium to large companies, they will have 8 or 10 or 15 different program applications in marketing. And some of the salespeople have 8 to 10 programs that they may be dealing with that are all connecting into the CRM, the marketing automation, the social media, et cetera, to find out more about this prospect, to find out, have they inquired about these products in the past? Have they been doing it on social media? Where have they talked about this? Just the number of programs that are coming aboard. As I'm digging into this, I'm finding some companies have been working at this for 3 or 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and are finally coming to fruition. Others have been at it 6 or 8 months. The number of companies that are suddenly touting they've got AI applications is starting to rival account-based marketing in its volume coming out today. Are there some programs that you think are especially, besides Nudge, of course, that someone should be looking at in order to be a top-of-the-line marketer today? What should they be looking at in order to understand marketing, not just marketing automation, CRM, but is there anything else that you see that's especially interesting?
I mean, from a marketing landscape, I think there's some really interesting things going on in terms of the orchestration of activities. Whether you look at, a great company, Engageo, on the John Miller's new company, where they're trying to bring together and really deliver on the promise of a multi-channel, multi-role orchestration on the account. You know, certainly not an easy challenge to tackle, but if you're a marketer focused on account-based marketing, I have to say that is a very interesting lens on what you should be doing. And then there's a whole other sort of companies that are trying to take advantage of the incredible wealth of data out there. And I think that one of the interesting things for me is that Steve and I both believe that the value of data is slowly going to zero. LinkedIn is starting to open up. I think they're going to start opening up some of their ecosystem in terms of allowing their profile data out there in a certain way. You had a startup Radius who just said any customer now has unlimited data on their platform for access to B2B data. And so I think that if that data gets more and more open, and the next level of companies like Sixth Sense, like Bumbora, like some of these other companies are doing intent and purchase stuff are interesting to look at.
Yeah, it's really it's very mind-blowing. As I get into these interviews, I was beginning to think I actually knew what I was talking about, to tell you the truth, because I've been interviewing people for 6 or 8 months, and then each one just opens my mind to all kinds of new things that I can get in, I could get into as a marketer and as a consultant. I'd like to get back to something you said at the very beginning of this interview. Network is your net worth. Can you explain that a little bit better for us?
Well, it's a saying that's used by, I think, a lot of different people use it. Jell Rally, a good friend and investor, uses it. Gail Porter wrote a book on it. And this idea that I think there's two main points of it that I think are important. One is that modern networking isn't like the networking of old, where you just try and collect business cards and you're a very sales approach to it. It actually is about authentic relationships based on shared passions or interests. So they don't have to be the right title. They don't have to be in the right role. But if you have a common interest, you can actually build this sort of relationship. And then over time, it's those relationships and those people that actually help you in your career. There's a theory called the strength of weak ties, which was popularized by, you probably read the book, The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell.
Yep.
And the idea is that if you spend time with people that are not similar to you, you have a better chance of new great opportunities than if you just spend time with your close circle of friends. And that's because you get exposed to new ideas, new types of people, and new groups and opportunities that are out there that maybe you wouldn't be. And so that's the really the premise of your network is your net worth.
And is this the whole premise of your company also?
It's a core philosophy we have. We actually have an award we give out to our employees every year based on their value and focusing on their network that may not directly drive anything but nudge. And we do build it into the product. So the free product is all about how do we make sure you stay in touch with the people that you want to stay in touch with, that you want to continue to build a relationship with. And it's not easy to do in this day and age where everyone has thousands and thousands of these very weak connections and followers.
I think you're right. Thousands of weak connections. I get a new connection and then I don't bother to use it. I don't stay in touch with it. And what have you. My mentor, my sales mentor, is Michael Alexander. He's with an investment company. He's the best pure sales guy that I have ever known. I meet with him weekly just to get a shot in the arm. And lately he and I have been talking about sales process, marketing processes, and what have you. But Michael really talks about this networking. And his philosophy is, even for attorneys, in order to keep your network going, you got to talk to some of these people 6-7 times a year. Have meaningful hello conversations with them, your tight, close network, in order to develop relationships. And he's been tremendously successful at this. A little bit more about Nudge. Is Nudge more a salesperson's tool or a marketing person's tool, or does it make any difference?
So it starts off first as a salesperson or account manager's tool. Anyone who cares about building relationships and managing relationships, right? So that's where it definitely starts. But the marketing use case is actually very interesting. We've been pulled into the marketing world pretty aggressively by some of our customers, because if you track engagement and in relationships at accounts, marketing can use that data as a very important segmentation criteria. You know, is a salesperson engaged or not engaged? Who is he actually engaged with at the account? Who is he not engaged with at the account? How do I move to a supporting role for later type deals in pipeline? Mm-hmm. So all the questions that today require a field marketer to meet with a salesperson and actually face-to-face and talk about account planning, we can orchestrate in a more automated way through an integration with MA and a Nudge platform. And that's very interesting to a lot of marketers, particularly as you go up market to larger account sizes where it's not as easy to stay in track of all those relationships and what's happening.
Well, it all comes back to the use of the data and the artificial intelligence behind what's going on and how you're analyzing things, doesn't it? Or really, now, who do you have on your staff that develops your program? Is it you and Steve Woods?
So no, we have a very large product team, 15 people. We have a data scientist who got her doctorate from Oxford and then her postdoc at Columbia, so in computational biology. So really hardcore data science. And what's interesting, and I will say this for anyone who's looking, is that she mentioned to us that a lot of academics in the data science world who've done postdocs and done major academic work are now looking to the private sector because the cycle that they get feedback and iterate on their actual machine algorithms is much faster in the private sector. So there's an opportunity to go to academia and look for some of these people and entice them into the private sector.
Very, very interesting. I love what you have to say today because I learned a lot in the process. I like the network is your net worth, and it reminds me of that. Your comment about some of the positions going away, but the expansion of jobs gives me a lot more hope. I woke up in the middle of the night about 10 or 12 weeks ago, whenever it was, and I said, I was reading a book on artificial intelligence, and I said, marketing jobs are going to go away. It will improve. The types of jobs will improve. The knowledge base will improve. But these departments are going to be smaller. I wonder if I'm right. And I've proven to be pretty essentially wrong. These jobs are not going to go away. But the grunt jobs, the scut jobs, the small stuff will go away as these people, they'll still come into the jobs, but they'll have to improve their position. They'll have to get more education. They'll have to learn how to prove the value of the demand gen programs. As one of the people coming on the program about artificial intelligence told me about a month ago in our interview, he said, Jim, this isn't just about demand generation. This is far beyond demand generation. It's far beyond that. That is the easy part. And I won't even say, but I said, how do you feel about marketing automation programs? And he said, marketing automation programs are stupid. He said, at their current level, they're stupid. They're ignorant. They don't know what's going on. They're handling such basic functions. It's embarrassing. And I said, wow. So expect me to have him on in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Anyway, do you have any parting words for our listeners today?
I would just say that if you're a marketer out there, embrace AI. It's going to only help you spend more time on the things that you love doing, the things that you've been trained to do, and less time on the things that probably you think are more tedious and don't want to do every day.
Thank you very much. Paul Tashima, CEO of Nudge, you've been very generous with your time today. You've got an open mic to come back anytime you'd like. You have a little few things you want to get off your chest, anything you want to harp on and talk and educate, please come back and join us.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
Paul Tashima, Nudge, let's go over to Paul to finish off our program and get ready today for more programming.
As usual, we've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. It has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Part of the many shows here on the Funnel Radio Channel for at-work listeners like you.